The Old Testament portrays human beings as forever torn between good and evil. Modern brain science indicates that morality is much more complicated than that. Using new technology, researchers are tearing apart the brain biology that underlies our decisions to behave badly or do good deeds. They're even experimenting with ways to alter moral judgment. This morning, in the latest story from our series, Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience, WBUR's Kerry Goldberg looks into what these new findings mean for notions of good and evil and personal responsibility.
Harvard brain scientist Josh Buchholz has never forgotten a convict he met back when he was an undergrad conducting psychological tests in prisons. The man had beaten another man nearly to death for stepping on his foot in a dance club.
And I wanted to ask him, in what world was the reward of beating this person so severely for this minor infraction worth having terrible food and barbed wire around you?
Over the years, Buchholz became convinced that this bad deed was a result of faulty brain processing. He says that in an impulsive person's brain, attention just gets so narrowly focused on an immediate reward that the future disappears.
If you'd asked this person, what will happen if you beat someone, nearly to death, they will tell you, oh, I'll be put away. It's not that these people who commit crimes are dumb, but what happens is in the moment, that information about costs and consequences can't get in to their decision-making capacities.
For two decades, researchers have scanned and analyzed the brains of psychopaths and murderers, but they haven't pinpointed any single source of evil in the brain.
The most useful insight is that our full concepts of good and evil are much more complicated and riven with uncertainty than we ever thought possible before.
In other words, so much for the old idea that we have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, and that morality is simply a battle between the two.
When we do brain studies of moral decision making, what we are led into is an understanding that there are many different paths to antisocial behavior.
Buchholz says that if we wanted to create antisocial offenders, brain science knows some of the recipe. They'd be hyper-responsive to rewards, and the more immediate, the better.
Another thing that we would build in is we would certainly short-circuit their empathic response to other people. We would absolutely limit their ability to regulate their emotions, particularly negative emotions like anger and fear.
In his lab, Buchholz is currently studying that key ability to weigh future consequence against immediate gratification.
I'm setting up the brain stimulation machine.
In one ongoing experiment, he's testing whether he can use electrical brain stimulation to make people value a future reward more compared to an immediate one.
So I have a $20 bill here. It's yours today. But you can wait 3 weeks and I'll give you $25. Which would you choose?
The researchers paste electrodes on the subject's head to zap an area of the brain involved in decision-making. With techniques like this, scientists aim to identify and ultimately tweak the brain circuits involved in moral decisions.
One of the long-term goals of this research is to help people who chronically make bad decisions. Veterans with traumatic brain injuries, for example, they have terrible trouble weighing these cost-benefit kinds of decisions.
Research shows that brain biology governs not just our choices, but also our moral judgments about what's right and wrong. For example, Harvard psychology professor Josh Green uses a classic moral dilemma to illustrate how two very different systems in the brain can affect how we make those moral judgments. He presented it to an audience of Harvard alumni. As you watch from a footbridge with a big man standing next to you, a runaway trolley heads down the track towards five people.
And now the only way to save these five people is to push this big guy off. He lands on the tracks and gets squashed by the train and he dies, but blocks the trolley so the five people can live. And you
ask people, most people say it's not okay to push the man in front of the trolley. Why? Green says it's a gut response, a snap judgment.
You get this response in a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is like your brain's early warning alarm system when people think about pushing the guy off the footbridge.
But Green says there's another decision-making system in a different part of the brain, the prefrontal control network, which enables us, with deliberation, to conclude that it makes more sense to save more lives.
It's a kind of fast decision that makes you say, no, don't push the guy off the footbridge. And it's a kind of slow decision that makes you say, well, you can save more lives, 5 versus 1.
Change the brain chemistry with commonly used drugs, and you can shift the decision.
If you give people a drug called citalopram, they say, no, you can't push the guy off the footbridge, or they're more likely to. If you give people an anti-anxiety drug, then they're more likely to say, sure, you can push the guy off the footbridge. And I recently had a wonderful undergraduate.
February has the least days of all months. To what degree is this statement about facts? I pressed 7 for completely.
At the Morality Lab at Boston College, Leanne Young is finding that changing your brain biology can even affect how you feel about your judgments of right and wrong. For example, about deeply felt moral positions on issues like abortion or eating meat.
Dog racing is harmful and exploitative to the dogs being raced.
The clicking sound you hear comes from a device about the size of 2 donuts stuck together with a handle. In the experiment, it delivers a magnetic field to stimulate a brain area just above the subject's right ear while they read statements and decide whether they're more like fact or opinion.
We're starting to see that we can shift around people's perceptions of what feels objectively right.
Young says this may be hard for many people to accept.
People tend to think of moral judgments as very central to their character. So showing people that their judgments and that their perceptions are flexible when it comes to morality, that's pretty striking, I think.
So here's the big question. Are we still to blame if we commit a crime, if it's all just biology at work? Brain scientist Josh Buchholz says that while questions like this keep him up at night,
these questions of will and credit and blame, while important, are, in some sense, above my pay grade. And I don't think that at the end of the day, neuroscience is going to give you a definitive, coherent, final answer about these questions that will make you comfortable.
He suggested asking a philosopher. Daniel Dennett is a professor of philosophy at Tufts University who incorporates neuroscience into his thinking. He says it's not news that our morality is based in our brains, and he doesn't have much patience for excuses like, my brain made me do it.
Of course my brain made me do it. What would you want? Your stomach to make you do it?
The age-old debate around free will is still raging on in philosophical circles, with new brain science in the mix. But Dennett argues that science doesn't change the basic facts.
If you do something on purpose, and you know what you're doing, and you did it for reasons good, bad, or indifferent, then your brain made you do it. Of course. And it doesn't follow that you were not the author of that deed. Why? Because you are your embodied brain.
Dennett's not worried that we'll all be letting ourselves and each other off the hook.
Responsibility is alive and well, and will go on being alive and well.
But what we're learning about the biological basis of moral behavior may change how we feel about punishing wrongdoers. A recent study finds that learning about neuroscience makes people recommend shorter prison sentences for criminals. As knowledge of neuroscience filters into society, attitudes about moral responsibility may shift. Harvard's Josh Green sees potential benefit in this.
If understanding that these are mechanical failures as opposed to a deep failure of your soul helps people be more understanding and constructive, then that's good.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.
Our series, Brain Matters, reporting from the front lines of neuroscience, has been produced by WBUR's Iris Adler and George Hicks.